Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. This is our 2023 summer movie preview episode. We take you through each and every month, May through August, and discuss every major theatrical release coming your way, as well as some indies and streaming originals to keep an eye out for. Get ready to make plans because it is now time for our 2023 summer movie preview. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, I'm my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy. This feels so much better.
Troy Heinrichs.
I never know what to say now because I don't know if I'm up first or up second. So just, hello.
Like to switch it around, man. Each week, you just never know what's going to happen.
Hey, guess who's not here? Hello, hello.
Yeah. Amanda's working. Sorry, Amanda. She couldn't be here.
Wow, wow, wow.
She will be joining us for the Guardians of the Galaxy review, which will be coming out at some point next week. But this is the summer movie preview. And by the way, the entire summer schedule will be available on this post at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Dates are always subject to change because you just never know what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Can't hold us to it. This ain't court. What's that jury show? That reality jury show? What's that one called? Is it Jury Duty?
Is that the one where it's a fake reality jury?
Yeah.
And then you have the one guy who thinks he's on a real jury and he's got James Marsden next to him?
That's the show.
I don't know.
I don't know what it's called, but I know the show.
I think it's Jury Duty and we're not there.
It might be.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go May 1 through Labor Day and big releases. I'm going to read them to you for each weekend. And then we're going to discuss if there's anything that catches your eye or anything, fun facts, whatever.
But I thought Marvel said that summer, we now start in April. I thought that was the thing.
It's whenever Marvel says summer starts, that's when it starts.
Yeah. Okay. So because Marvel chose May 5th, we're now starting on May 5th. I gotcha.
Marvel's all like, oh no, we suck again. And so they went back to May 5th.
Back to ground zero. God damn it. And now we've got Kang. We don't know if we can use Kang anymore. What is happening?
We screwed up.
Maybe. We don't know.
A background check did not go through the way it should have gone.
He's already been CGI'd in Ant-Man, so they're fine.
Larry up in HR is getting his ass handed to him if this doesn't work out. All right. So let's start May 5th. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And in Marvel Studios, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, our beloved little misfits are looking a bit different these days. Peter Quill is still suffering from the loss of Gamora, even though she's back, but not really back. Must rally his team around him to defend the universe along with protecting one of their own. A mission that, if not completed successfully, could quite possibly lead to the end of the Guardians as we know them. I don't know who's going to die, but I'm certain someone's going to die. Also coming out that weekend is What's Love Got to Do with It? How do you find lasting love in today's world? For documentary filmmaker Zoe, it's played by Lily James, swiping right to find Mr. Right has only delivered bad dates and funny anecdotes, much to her opinionated mother's dismay, who's played by Emma Thompson. For her childhood friend and neighbor, Kazim, the answer is to follow her parents' example and opt for an assisted marriage with a bright and beautiful bride from Pakistan. Zoe films this hopeful journey from London to Lahore to marry a stranger chosen by his parents and she begins to wonder if she might have something to learn from a different approach to finding love. I did see that. You can find my review on the website, thehollywoodoutsider.com, but I will tell you, I did enjoy it. So, John, we'll start with you. Those are the two movies coming out May 5th. Either one of those excite you, interest you, entice you?
I don't know, man. I'm thinking Guardians is going to have to be the way it goes. But, when you listen to this, I'm going to tell you that you all should start doing a media blackout if you don't plan on watching this movie right away. Because there's articles that seem to be spoiling everything. There's pictures that are coming out that seem to be spoiling everything. You got James Gunn out there spoiling everything. So I don't know when it became common to start spoiling a movie before you even release it, but it's happening a lot.
I don't think James Gunn is spoiling. He's probably leading you astray.
Maybe. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I already forgot what it was he said, but yeah.
I know. It's a tough call. Lily James, Talking Raccoon, Lily James, Talking Raccoon.
No, Lily James is better than the Talking Raccoon.
Lily James with a Talking Raccoon, that might be an interesting movie. But
put her in Guardians Volume 4.
Well, then we would ruin the trilogy because we'd have a fourth movie.
That's true. That is true.
No, Guardians of the Galaxy is definitely on the docket. That is a must see for the weekend. Probably do one of those 8:30 in the morning deals because I won't have to deal with any crappy children or teenagers ruining the movie. But yeah, the Lily James movie sounds actually really sweet and interesting. And I love the take on just a different culture aspect. I would definitely say Lily James is definitely one that would be seen. I just don't know if it'll be seen opening weekend.
Well, I can tell you, like I said, I have seen it and you can from a review on the website, but it's a charming little movie. It's an independent movie. It's a small movie, but I'm a big fan of seeing different cultures, right? I'm married to someone from a different culture. So I've experienced that personally. It's very interesting. And also it can be frustrating. It can be exciting. There's a lot of different avenues that go along with it. And it's nice that it's treated kind of respectfully in this movie. And Lily James is always charming. It's hard to dislike her. It really is.
Yeah. It's a perfect movie for Discount Tuesdays.
Jesus. Okay, fair enough. May 12th, we've got Book Club, the next chapter that you didn't know you wanted to read. The four best friends take their book club to Italy for the fun girls trip they never had. When things go off the rails and secrets are revealed, their relaxing vacation turns into a once-in-a-lifetime cross-country adventure. Stars Jane Fonda, Andy Garcia, Mary Steenburgen, Candace Bergen, and Diane Keaton. And also Don Johnson is in this, so that's cool. Maybe we'll get some pastels, bring those back. Also Hypnotic, a detective becomes entangled in a mystery involving his missing daughter in a secret government program while investigating a string of reality-bending crimes. Stars Ben Affleck, Alice Braga, and William Fichtner. Did see this, reviewed it in the South by Southwest episode. I'll talk more about that soon, but think Inception with Robert Rodriguez, which means not quite. BlackBerry is two mismatched entrepreneurs, egghead innovator Mike Lazaridis and cutthroat businessman Jim Belzeal. Jesus.
Easy for you to say?
Yeah, that's why that thing flopped. Joined forces in an endeavor that was about to become a worldwide hit in little more than a decade. The device that one invented and the other sold was the BlackBerry, an addictive mobile phone that changed the way the world worked, played, and communicated. But just as BlackBerry was rising to new peaks, it started losing its way through the fog of smartphone wars and management decisions and all the other nonsense that went with it. And I got to tell you, I had one. I remember that. BlackBerries were cool for like a minute, and then they weren't, and nobody had one anymore. It was wild. Also, there's a lot coming out on streaming as well. Disney Plus has Crater, the story of Caleb Channing, who was raised on a lunar mining colony and is about to be permanently relocated to an idyllic faraway planet following the death of his father. Before leaving, though, to fulfill his dad's last wish, he and his three best friends, Dylan, Barney, and Marcus, and a new arrival from Earth, Addison, hijack a rover for one final adventure on a journey to explore a mysterious crater. So basically Goonies. Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
Or like Hole.
Yeah, Hole. Goonies in a Hole. Apple TV Plus has Still, a Michael J. Fox movie. It's a film which incorporates documentary, archival, and scripted elements, recounts Michael J. Fox's extraordinary story in his own words. Every account of this movie I've heard has been wonderful. It was at South by. I wasn't able to see it, but I heard nothing but great things. And lastly, Netflix's The Mother. A deadly female assassin comes out of hiding to protect the daughter that she gave up years before while on the run from dangerous men, and that woman is Uma Thurman. Nope, I had it wrong. Jennifer Lopez. Sorry, wrong movie. Of those, what are you guys excited about?
I mean, I'm excited for Aaron that he gets to see J-Lo, but I will be seeing Still with Michael J. Fox for sure. Grew up on Alex P. Keaton and Family Ties. Mm. So like just going back, Spin City. Oh, Spin City was so good. And of course, Back to the Future and even when he shows up on Scrubs, just magnificent on Scrubs. But I would also see for Discount Tuesday, the BlackBerry movie, because it was like lifeblood. Because I got my first one. They're called Crackberry for a reason, because you literally could not put them down while you were doing your work. And it was, I still think to this day, not that you should text and drive, but it was much easier to text and drive with a BlackBerry than it is with an iPhone or an Android.
Why? Because the buttons were there?
Because the buttons were there. It was just,
yeah, you actually had
the keyboard was, you never misspelled things because you were like the swiping text like predicted what you were going to say. It only typed what you typed. So it was much easier to just type blindly without having to actually look at the keyboard.
Or the road, apparently.
I was looking at the road. I could type.
Sounds like it.
I could literally type with one thumb because I knew where the keys were.
I would prefer that thumb was on the wheel. You know what I'm saying? Drive.
How many of you all drive with just one? Arm out the window.
I have Android Auto. I don't need to type. I can tell it what to say.
That's true, too. Android Auto is a game changer.
It is the game changer. Until you have other people in the car and it reads back the text from your friend and you're like, no, don't play that one.
Well, you got to know your audience. So you got to know which friend it is. If I trust me.
When to hold them.
My wife's in the car and certain friends message me. I ain't reading it. I'm like, nope, Tyler can wait.
Right.
Especially Tyler.
I'm going to have to go with a mother because that looks like a very exciting movie and it's Netflix. So it could be hit or miss. And I feel like rolling the dice.
And you don't have to leave your room.
I don't have to leave my room.
Well, I will tell you, I don't understand the sequel to Book Club, but hey, if people are happy for it, good for them. It feels a little way out of left field. But Hypnotic, it is a solid movie. I'm still convinced, and I saw an unfinished cut. That it was in process is what they called it or something. And the ADR was not perfect. I mean, Ben Affleck didn't sound like Ben Affleck at the beginning. Maybe that was the movie's intent. I don't know. But it is a really engaging and kind of a cool story, especially once it wraps up. It just takes a little while to get there. If you're looking for something that's kind of Christopher Nolan-y, but without quite the intellect Christopher Nolan would have, go with Hypnotic.
if you want to watch a stupid Christopher Nolan movie,
you want a dumbed-down version of Chris Nolan, there you go, Hypnotic. Sorry, that wasn't quite the ringing endorsement I thought it would be.
Nope. Nope. If you like Christopher Nolan, but you have a head wound, Hypnotic.
I want to see The Mother on Netflix, but I saw the trailer, man. I'm having a hard time with Jennifer Lopez in this role. I just I'll give it a chance because it's Jennifer Lopez, and yeah, let's be honest, I'll watch it. But still, all right, May 19th, we got White Men Can't Jump on Hulu, right, from 20th Century Studios. The all new comedy White Men Can't Jump is a modern remix of the iconic 1992 film that celebrates the streetball hustling culture of L.A. Multi-platinum rap superstar Jack Harlow, what a ringing endorsement of his acting talents, makes his movie debut as Jeremy, a former star, that's the whitest name I've ever heard, a former star of the game whose injury stalled his career, and Cinqua Walls? Yeah, stars as Kamal, once a promising player who derailed his own future in the sport. Juggling tenuous relationships, financial pressures, and serious internal struggles, the two ballers, opposites who are seemingly miles apart, find they might have more in common than they imagined possible. I need a Rosie Perez in here. I'm just saying. And also, Fast X. Basically, part one of the two-part conclusion to the Fast and Furious series. Over many missions and against impossible odds, one might say really impossible odds, Dom Toretto and his family, you can't even say it without giggling, have outsmarted, outnerved, and outdriven every foe in their path. Now they confront the most lethal opponent they've ever faced, fucking Aquaman. A terrifying threat emerging from the shadows of the past who's fueled by bloody revenge and who's determined to shatter this family and destroy everything and everyone that Dom loves forever. Now, I've seen the trailers for Fast X. I have no idea who this dude is supposed to be or who was hurt, but it seems like it goes back to Fast 5.
Yeah.
Because they keep showing the bridge scene with the...
Really?
Yeah. They keep showing the bridge scene.
You're being serious right now.
Yeah, they didn't really show.
Wow. Okay, yeah, he is the son of the bad guy from the fifth movie.
Okay.
They literally show the safe coming down the road in the trailer from the fifth movie.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the son of that guy. I don't think it's the son.
No, it is the son of that
guy.
It
is the son of that guy.
Well, maybe I should watch more trailers. All right, who's up next?
Like, you ruined my family. I'm going to ruin yours. I think was the exact line.
Troy?
Troy can't follow directions. I swear to God.
What?
You're going to stop talking now?
It was John's turn.
You took the talking stick away from me, and now you're like, what?
I had to jump on that one because he's like, really? You don't know what
you
it's
You don't
about?
Have to jump on every single one of them, Troy.
Yeah. Sometimes just wait, man. It's okay. John, yeah. Go ahead.
I can't do White Man Can't Jump. I just don't, I don't want to do it. I don't want to see the trailer. I've heard the trailer might sell me on it, and I just don't want it to sell me on it because I love that first movie so much. I mean, I think I developed my whole personality around that, I'm going to put my money with this, my mouth with this money is line. So I just can't do that. So Fast X it is. Are you trying to remember where that line was?
No, I'm trying to make sense of everything you just said. Maybe Troy should always talk. All right, Troy, what about you? Just kidding.
That was hurtful. I can't do White Men Can't Jump either. I don't want to do Fast X, but since I watched 400 Grey's Anatomy episodes, I guess I'll watch one more Fast X movie. Because
why don't you want to do Fast? Like, why is it cool to hate the Fast and Furious series now? Is it cool to hate it now? Is that where we're at?
Because they just keep. The problem was what.
Don't watch it then. You obviously don't want to see it. Don't go. Nobody's forcing you. Don't go.
Yeah, you could have just bowed out for the weekend instead of like trampling all over me.
The struggle I'm having with this one, is the fact that Fast Five is probably one of the best of the series. Okay. And now they're causing it to be like a trilogy of the Fast Five, Fast 10, Fast 10-2.
Okay, no, but no. Also the problem I'm having with this one is just how full Jason Momoa's face looks in it. I look at that and I'm like, is that CGI or is that what his face really looks like without the beard?
That's hot dogs. That's a lot of hot dogs on the set, I'm sure. You know what? You can say all you want. Every woman in America still wants him. Like,
it's not,
no matter what.
See, that's why it's not fair. I have to sit there and die in a gym to look nothing like him. And yet nobody wants anything to do with me, but he can sit there and eat hot dogs on set all day. And everyone's like, oh, here are my panties.
I don't think it quite worked out that way, but
I think you'd save money by not going to the gym then. Just eat hot dogs.
Yeah. Just eat hot dogs and grow that bitchin' beard and like stop bathing. Get some tats.
Smell like patchouli.
We're gonna go see Fast X. I mean, of course.
No, you don't get to go. You're not invited anymore because you obviously don't want to see it because you hate fun or something. You're just like, oh, I don't even know. Well, then don't go. It's not for you.
I was really annoyed that they had to bring back the third movie.
You're literally the guy who tried to justify going to space. You literally had an entire explanation of bullshit about how that Fiero made sense to coast the outer limits of Earth's atmosphere. And you're going to poo-poo Fast X? Shut it.
I think it's mostly because they're moving it into two movies. I was fine when it was one, but it's like when they bring it into two, it was like, oh, really?
It's like 19 movies at this point. Who gives a shit how many it takes to finish the arc?
A Fiero could barely survive going down I-95, and Troy's like, no, you can totally put that in space.
Nothing survives going down I-95. But I think what I'm actually really interested in that weekend, what I'm really interested in that weekend is actually over on Netflix is Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me. It's an unflinching, humanizing examination of the life, death, and secrets of Vicki Lynn Hogan, better known as model and actress Anna Nicole Smith. From her first appearance in Playboy in 92, Anna Nicole's dizzying ascent was the very essence of the American dream, brought to a tragic halt with her untimely passing in 2007.
I mean, that's sweet, but no, I'm going to go with Aquaman on this one for sure.
I think it's going to be a really good documentary for her. I mean, there's one that was kind of for her that they did previously, like right around her death. And I don't think it like, did her career justice. So I'm interested to see what they do for this one.
Okay. This is going to sound very not cool, but when you say career, do you mean marrying old dudes?
No, he means the Naked Gun movie.
Naked Gun 33 and a third. And a third? Okay. Just clarifying. This is going to be the shortest documentary in history. I'm just like, sorry.
It could be interesting, though.
I almost want to say shame on you, but I think I was right next to you on that bus to hell.
Oh, man. No, that sounds interesting. Is this one endorsed by her family, by the way? Is it endorsed by her family, or is this one of those?
I don't remember.
Okay. Wait, who are we calling her family? Her actual daughter, or the guy who's claims to be her father?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. You know what? We're going to go ahead and move to May 26th, The Little Mermaid. Now, The Little Mermaid is the beloved story of Ariel, a beautiful and spirited young mermaid with a thirst for adventure. The youngest of King Triton's daughters and the most defiant, of course, Ariel longs to find out more about the world beyond the sea. While visiting the surface, she also falls for the dashing Prince Eric. While mermaids are forbidden to interact with humans, Ariel must follow her heart. She makes a deal with an evil sea witch, Ursula, who's played by Melissa McCarthy, which gives her a chance to experience life on land, but ultimately places her life and her father's crown in jeopardy. Also, The Machine. Jesus Christ. Yes. Set 23 years after the original story which inspired it, The Machine finds Bert Kreischer facing familiar crisis and the arrival of his estranged father, who's played by Mark Hamill, of all people, when the ghost of his booze-soaked past arrives, a murderous mobster hell-bent on kidnapping Bert back to the motherland to atone for his crimes. Together, he and his father must retrace the steps of his younger self in the midst of a war between a sociopathic crime family while they attempt to find common ground. Quite the story we've developed for a guy who just tells this joke shirtless, but whatever. Kandahar, that's the last one. Tom Harris, undercover CIA operative working in the Middle East, is in danger when his classified mission is exposed. Together with his translator, they must find a way to get out of hostile territory to an extraction point in Kandahar, Afghanistan. This is a Gerard Butler movie, which means it'll probably be fun, but very stupid. So there you go. That's what's coming out on May 26th. What do you want to see, Troy?
The Machine. Dude, the trailer looked ridiculous. Mark Hamill looks like he's having so much fun in this movie. It is just batshit. And I think that it's just going to be a great time as counter programming to all the kids that'll be going to see The Little Mermaid. But I'll also see The Little Mermaid because it's my favorite Disney movie.
Oh, that's sweet.
I am pumped for The Machine. I didn't think I was going to end up enjoying Bert Kreischer as much as I enjoy Bert Kreischer, but all of his stand-up routines are fun, engaging. He tells a good story. He's a smart idiot because he knows how to tell a good story. He knows how to engage with people, but he's an idiot about most of his storytelling. I oddly identify with him in a lot of different ways. So I am excited to see this guy take this idiotic story and turn it into a movie. And especially seeing how he could have just said, we're going to do The Machine, but film the actual his story of what actually happened. But no, he's going to take it into the future of that story and develop something deeper and different with jokes. So I'm all right with that.
Okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to see all three of these, right? I'm going to see Little Mermaid first because it's my daughter's favorite animated movie, and it reminds me of her, so I'm going to go see it because it reminds me of her. And I want to see what they do in live action. And also, because of all those assholes that have a problem with it, they can kiss my ass, and I want to make sure and buy all their tickets, too. So I might see it like five times. Then The Machine, I might see it. I don't think he's funny at all, but the trailer is funny. I don't understand his stand-up. I've tried to watch like two or three of his Netflix specials. They all are lame as shit to me. And I don't get the I can't wear a shirt ever thing. That's just, it probably makes it even harder to watch. But the movie does look funny from the trailer. So I'll give it a shot. And Mark Hamill looks like he's having a great time. Kandahar I'm going to see because I like Gerard Butler and I ain't ashamed of it. His movies all typically are enjoyable no matter how stupid they are. He makes them watchable. He's kind of like Steven Seagal in the late 80s and Van Damme every time. But yeah, I don't get The Machine. I'll never understand that dude. Anyway.
If Mark Hamill wasn't in it, I would not be seeing The Machine. But because Mark Hamill's in it, I'm watching The Machine.
It's Mark Hamill dropping F-bombs like crazy. That's what's getting me interested.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's going to be great.
For sure. Let's hold up on the word great. Okay. It's going to be watchable. I hope.
It's the Luke Skywalker we all wanted in that eighth movie.
We definitely wanted the F-bomb dropping Luke Skywalker. That's all I wanted in The Last Jedi.
I mean, if he was going to be all pissy about it anyway, why couldn't he just drop a few F-bombs? It's like,
I mean, he probably did. I mean, he's sitting there just drinking goat milk and never leaving his house. I'm sure he was dropping plenty of F-bombs. Okay. Hey, you know what? 80 for Brady. Bring home 80 for Brady on Blu-ray today. Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Rita Moreno, and Sally Field star as four best friends who go on an unforgettable journey to see their hero, Tom Brady, play in Super Bowl 51 in this hilarious comedy about living life to the fullest, no matter your age. It's directed by Kyle Mervin. It's Buy 80 for Brady on Blu-ray, and you get to laugh out loud with some bonus content. It's rated PG-13 from Paramount. I enjoyed this movie. I ain't ashamed of it. It's ridiculous, but it's fun. It is a fun movie. You should check it out. 80 for Brady. Okay, coming out June 2nd, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. After reuniting with Gwen Stacy, Brooklyn's full-time friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is catapulted across the multiverse, where he encounters a team of spider people charged with protecting its very existence. And when the heroes clash on how to handle a new threat, Miles finds himself pitted against the other spiders and must redefine what it means to be a hero so he can save the people he loves most. Also, the Boogeyman. A man tries to explain to his psychiatrist that the Boogeyman, a creature lurking in a closet, is real and has been killing his children. And it's based on a Stephen King story. So I will tell you, John, I want to see the Spider-Man movie and the Boogeyman, but what do you want to see most of those two?
I want to see the Spider-Man movie the most. The first movie was one of my favorite movies in a long time. I love that movie so much. I find it to be wildly rewatchable, and I can't wait for this one.
Is it because of the art style or the story or a combination of everything?
It's a combination of everything. The soundtrack itself hits in such a good way. The art style is definitely reminiscent of comic books and comic books of a certain era, to be specific, because it picks up a lot more of like the cell shading as well as the dot matrix shading and coloring, which keeps on slipping my mind as to what that's really called.
Rotoscope.
But huh?
Rotoscope?
No, that's not what it is. Anyhow, doesn't matter. Moving on. The imagery of it is just awesome. And the story will break your heart. So, yeah, that's why I'm going to have to say Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I'm excited. I can't wait.
That's three for Spidey all around. But I am a Stephen King fan, so Tuesday discounts for the Boogeyman.
Don't you have A-List?
Of course I have A-List, but I have people that want to come with me.
Oh, gotcha. So
I'm not spending $15 on the Boogeyman. Let's be clear.
So if somebody's coming with you, they're going to be the cheapest date you can muster, essentially.
Whoever wants to come with, I'm just saying I'm not paying $15 for the Boogeyman.
Well, if they're coming with, why are you paying for them at all? You got an A-List. You don't have to pay for anything.
Because I like to be nice and treat my friends to movies sometimes.
Okay. Good call.
I buy the movie, they buy the popcorn. It's a fair deal.
And who cuts the hole? Okay. June 9th, Strays. When Reggie, who's played by Will Ferrell, a naive, relentlessly optimistic border terrier, is abandoned on the mean city streets by his low-life owner, Doug, Will Forte, from The Last Man on Earth, Reggie is certain that his beloved owner would never leave him on purpose. But once Reggie falls in with a fast-talking, foul-mouthed Boston Terrier named Bug, voiced by Jamie Foxx, a stray who loves his freedom and believes that owners are for suckers, Reggie finally realizes he was in a toxic relationship and begins to see Doug for the heartless sleazebag that he is. And so Reggie's on a mission to go bite his dick off. That's a true thing. That's from the trailer. You're welcome. Transformers Rise of the Beasts. Returning, and I should tell you, if you don't know what Strays is and you haven't seen the Red Band trailer, which is really foul-mouthed, definitely a rated R movie. These are live animals, but with actors voicing them. So it's wild. Transformers Rise of the Beasts, returning to the action spectacle that first captured moviegoers across the world 15 years ago, or 14 years ago, something like that, with the original Transformers. Rise of the Beasts will take audiences on a 90s globe-trotting adventure and introduce the Maximals, Predacons, and Terracons to the existing battle on Earth between Autobots and Decepticons. Disney Flaming Hot. That's the Immigrant to Riches story. It's going to be a Disney Plus of how Flaming Hot Cheetos came to life. His initial idea sparks a billion-dollar brand and catapults him from janitor to elite corporate executive. I will tell you that this story is not as true as you would like it to be. Google it. And lastly, the angry black girl and her monster. Vicaria is a brilliant teen who believes death is a disease that can be cured. And after the brutal and sudden murder of her brother, she embarks on a very dangerous journey to bring him back to life. That is June 9th. What do you want to see?
I like the transformations in the trailer that I've seen for Transformers. So because the transformations look better, I will give Rise of the Beasts its fair share and fair shake. Because I do want to see a spectacle movie in the summer. Like it's a true popcorn movie in the, you know, how we would think of popcorn movies. I'm always cool for a good rags to riches hero story kind of thing. You know, the kids love the Flamin' Hot Cheetos. I think this would be an interesting thing. I do know that it's not going to be completely to what actually happened, but it still might be an entertaining watch. Strays just looks messed up.
Is that in a good way or is that in a bad way, though?
I don't know yet. Like, like it gives me like incredible journey vibes because it's like real animals with actor voices, but at the same time it's just like Friday and Friday After Next.
I don't love it because it feels like it's trying too hard to be foul mouth. You know what I mean? Yeah. It feels forced in many respects.
I saw Real Dogs and Rated R on the Red Band before the Red Band started, and I was just like, what is going on here?
I actually like the idea a lot. I do love it, but when I watched the trailer, it just really kind of, I got a vibe rather than, that's hysterical. I just felt like they were just swearing. It was kind of like watching, you know, Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart in, is it Get Hard? Is that the one where he goes to prison?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Let's Get Hard.
Yeah. And they're just, is just saying everything foul mouth, just to sound foul mouth, and it doesn't work. It's not funny. That's what I got from Strays. I'm hoping for the best because I love Jamie Foxx. I mean, I'll watch, but Will Ferrell hasn't been funny to me in a while. So I'm looking forward to maybe enjoying that, but I don't know if I will because the trailer kind of turned me off.
Discount Tuesdays.
And Rise of the Beast, I hate to say it. I know John is probably super excited for that, and he's going to talk about it in a second. There's been two trailers, and they both bored the hell out of me.
Yeah, the marketing for Rise of the Beast has not been up to snuff to like get people really excited to go see it.
Tell us we're wrong, John.
Well, yeah, you're both wrong. I've watched both the trailers. I enjoy both the trailers. I feel like this is going to be in the same universe as the Bumblebee movie, and so the theory that the Bumblebee movie was a reset or a relaunch of the Transformers is probably pretty accurate. I'm excited to see Optimus Primal on the big screen and the rest of the Maximals on the big screen. And seeing Prime and Primal on the screen at the same time, that is just awesome. There's some other things from the trailer I don't want to mention in case you're not watching the trailers but there seems to be some other things from the 1985 cartoon that are going to be showing up in this, and that's exciting. So there's a lot of great things to me as someone who's a big fan of Transformers, not necessarily a big fan of the Transformer movies. I thought a lot of those were more miss than hits. But with the exception of Bumblebee, I think is a great like E.T. facsimile story. And I'm hoping that this has the same sort of creativity and thinking behind it and honors the Transformers so much better than anything else that's been put out.
So why are the Dinobots not in this? That's what I want to know.
They were in.
You don't need Dinobots.
They were in two movies ago.
Yeah, there's also that. But they were done poorly in those two movies.
I'm Transformered out. I gotta be honest with you. Like, I feel like we've had 15 of these movies in the last 15 years, and I just don't need another one. I enjoyed Bumblebee, to be perfectly honest, but I have to say, I don't know that I'm going to see this opening weekend. I will probably go see The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster because I love a good indie horror flick way before I would see the new Transformers movie.
Well, yeah, The Angry Black Girl and Her Monster sounds like a lot of fun as far as the movie's concerned. And it's harkening back to Frankenstein stories.
Mm-hmm. Could be cool with a twist. All right, June 16th, Elemental. Following an unlikely pair, Ember and Wade, in a city where fire, water, land, and air residents live together. I believe this is Pixar. The Blackening, seven black friends go away for the weekend only to find themselves trapped in a cabin with a killer who has a vendetta. Will their street smarts and knowledge of horror movies help them stay alive? You got me sold right there. Right there. That's a great description. The Flash. Worlds collide in The Flash when Barry uses his superpowers to travel back in time in order to change the events of the past. But when his attempt to save his family inadvertently alters the future, Barry becomes trapped in a reality in which General Zod has returned, threatening annihilation, and there are no superheroes to turn to. That is, until Barry can coax a very different Batman out of retirement and rescue an imprisoned Kryptonian, but not Henry Cavill, just in case you're wondering. Ultimately, to save the world that he is in and return to the future that he knows, Barry's only hope is to race for his life, but will making the ultimate sacrifice be enough to reset the universe? In other words, can he make up for Ezra Miller's crimes? Lastly, on Netflix, Extraction 2, Chris Hemsworth returns after barely surviving the events of the first movie. Rake is back as the Australian Blackhouse mercenary, tasked with another deadly mission, rescuing the battered family of a ruthless Georgian gangster from the prison where they are being held. Okay, John, what of those are we excited about? and why is it the Flash?
Okay, so I'm so torn because I don't want to see the Flash, but I want to see the Flash. Also, I finally remembered what the thing was that I saw that I got mad at, and it's from the Flash. Because I feel like I got spoiled on something by looking at a picture, and I'm like, why would you put that out? The movie's not even out yet. Yeah, it's the Flash. I want to see essentially the tying up of the old DC universe and the launch of what they're considering to be the new DC universe from this point on. And I want to see how they do it. If they get rid of Ezra Miller, if they don't, I don't know. But it seems like this is going to be the movie that I of this batch that I'm excited for.
I mean, I'm the Pixar junkie, so Elemental is definitely on tap. Because it is the tradition to do for Father's Day weekend to go see the Pixar movie with the kiddos. I am going to see The Flash just because we got the original Batman back.
Just not the best one.
If that gimmick wasn't in there, I probably wouldn't be seeing The Flash opening weekend.
I'm really surprised. I really thought you would be an Elemental guy. You're a Pixar guy. You love Pixar. You're not really as superhero driven as so many other people are.
I mean, not for The Flash, not because of what Ezra Miller did, because I don't get to see Henry Cavill, because, I mean, literally, if Michael Keaton wasn't in the movie, I don't know if I'd watch The Flash, to be honest.
Here's an honest question, okay?
Because it's literally Spider-Man No Way Home.
No, it's not at all. So here's what I would ask you guys. So Shazam did no business. It bombed horribly. Like, it was a horrible bomb. And that's saying something. Even in the DC world, it was still a horrible bomb.
Because the marketing for that one was bad also.
Well, I'm sure. But also, I mean, when people know that this is basically we're getting a reset, and James Gunn's gone everywhere to promote the fact that we're getting a reset, do people really care about movies that are still part of that universe when they know that world could potentially be completely reset? Like, is Flash going to suffer because the world knows that DC is resetting? And this is not part of it, technically. We don't know for sure yet.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I'm not as excited for The Flash. I mean, there's a couple of reasons why I'm not as excited about it. Part of it is I want to support Ezra Miller, but setting that aside, I don't know if I want to go see a movie that isn't going to matter in the long run, or even get close to tying up anything from the original universe that it came from. So I have a hard time with it. Do I like, so this is the Flashpoint story is essentially what they're doing. Do I like the Flashpoint story? Yes, I like the Flashpoint story. Do I want to see that on the screen? Yes, I want to see it on the screen. Do I want the original universe that this came from to end? No, I do not. And it makes it hard for me to watch it.
I've never been a big DC movie fan. Wonder Woman was the only one I liked.
The only one?
Yep.
Then why do you want to see The Flash?
Because Michael Keaton. I will watch it because of Michael
Keaton. He's that big a draw. Like, I don't really like him as Batman, so it's a turnoff to me.
I was the most excited to see No Way Home because I knew the other Spider-Mans were going to be in it.
Dude, you can keep referencing it. It doesn't make it similar. It's a different kind of movie. If you know the story of Flashpoint, it's not close.
Well, I know the story's not the same, but it's like when you watch the trailer, it's like they're
you said
they're
it's just like No Way Home.
They're using the same gimmick. They're bringing in they're doing a multiverse.
That's not the gimmick. It's literally what Flashpoint was. Like, but that's the story.
I know, but it's multiverse with other superheroes.
John, you got to jump in here. You got to help me out.
He's doing his Troy thing where he's just going to keep on hammering away at you
because he knows his point's wrong, and he's just going to cement. He's just going to triple down. He's just going to go and go and go.
Right. I mean, he doesn't care that Flashpoint is the original story. He doesn't care that Flashpoint happened first. He doesn't care that DC did a lot of this first. He doesn't care about that. He just wants to make sure you understand that Marvel is better and has a better story to it. And you need to understand that because that's what Troy wants.
Okay.
That's what most people want.
But I don't know about that. Not anymore. Marvel's been kind of like a downward spiral, man. They're in a slump, a big time slump.
I'm saying people wanted more fun in the DC movies. That's why Marvel was more successful, because it was more fun.
A lot of people are raving about The Flash. So we'll wait to see. I haven't seen any trailers that really sold me. I don't like Michael Shannon that much as General Zod, even though I like Man of Steel. I found him exhausting and very one note, so that doesn't really draw me in. Michael Keaton doesn't draw me in. Ezra Miller doesn't draw me in. I'll watch it just because I like those movies to a degree. Doubling down on Ezra Miller and having them side by side I don't think is really a selling point to me. And the blackening, it sounds like a great description that for a movie that I would love. So I'm probably going to go with the blackening. Honestly, I'll see the Flash. I have to at this point because I'm invested in that whole series. But man, the blackening sounds fun. Okay. June 23rd. Fuck me. Wes Anderson's Asteroid City is a poetic meditation on the meaning of life. It tells the story of a fictional American desert town circa 1955 and its junior stargazer convention, which brings together students and parents from across the country for scholarly competition, rest, recreation, comedy, drama, romance, and more.
Can I cut in for a second?
Sure.
I don't mean to step on your toes, because I know I've done this episode with you so many different times, sure. And I know you hate it. Uh-huh. But you got to Wes Anderson, and your entire tone just changed.
Because the movie's terrible.
I don't like Wes Anderson.
The movie looks terrible.
It's not only just Wes Anderson, I don't like him and his style. Fair enough, I say it outright. I don't like his style. The trailer itself looks horrible. Like, even by his standards, I even watched it as, okay, if I was a fan, would this intrigue me? And I think it looks bad. So I'm sorry. I'll bring up my tone. Hey, Wes Anderson's Asteroid City looks like shit. Is that better? There you go.
Much better. I just thought it was funny and I enjoyed it. So I thought I would draw attention to it. But why don't you go ahead and tell us about No Hard Feelings?
I will show you on the doll where he hurt me. Okay? I don't think he's ever made a movie I really love. And I've tried, man. I've tried. I think he has a very unique style. He has kind of his own vision. I respect the artistic appeal of him, but I've never enjoyed any of it. I just don't. It's like Terrence Malick. I don't care how nice the canvas is. If I'm not happy watching it, I don't want to watch it ever again. And that's what he inspires in me.
It's like seeing like the perfect spread of sushi and then realizing that it tastes like shit because it all went bad.
I think his only movie that I liked was The Grand Budapest Hotel. I
did not like that either. I got nothing. No hard feelings. On the brink of losing her child at home, Maddie is played by Jennifer Lawrence. She's going for the adult comedy route. She discovers an intriguing job listing. Wealthy helicopter parents looking for someone to quote unquote date their introverted 19-year-old son, aka bang the shit out of him, Percy, before he leaves for college. To her surprise, Maddie soon discovers the awkward Percy is no sure thing. We'll come back to this. Also Netflix, The Perfect Fine. Will a 40-year-old woman with everything on the line, her high-stakes career, ticking biological clock, and a bank account, risk it all for an intensely lusty secret romance with the one person who could destroy her comeback for good? It's Gabrielle Union.
Wow.
Okay. So of those three, Troy, what do you want to see?
Oh, I'm going to see No Hard Feelings for sure. I think the trailer looked freaking funny as hell. I laughed out loud a couple times.
Agreed. Agreed.
And it's not just because Aaron wants to be Percy, by the way. But
I'm going to agree with the No Hard Feelings. I like the trailer and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I often sit there and wonder how this would feel if it was a different like the roles were reversed. That would feel a little bit weirder. But I, at the same time, I'm trying to get those thoughts out of my head. Just enjoy Jennifer Lawrence doing some like adultish comedy.
Well, to be fair, I mean, there were tons of adult comedies that were guys doing that in the 80s and 90s.
Guys going to bang high school girls because their parents were asking them to bang high school
guys
girls?
Guys trying to bang random girls. Yeah, that was like the comedy staple of the 80s and the 90s.
Yep, no, you're right. That was a comedy staple about guys just making everything about sex. Yes,
but today,
right.
Would it be made? Probably not. Yeah, it would be offensive to a lot of people. And I do think there are people that are saying that about this one. They're getting all bent out of shape about it because this is disgusting and setting the women's movement back. And what?
Yeah, I don't think it's having that kind of effect on it.
There's a lot of people that are saying, seriously, I've seen it on the internet and these comments. And it's just like,
no, I know.
Let's get madder about Wes Anderson still making movies. Okay, let's do that and let Jennifer Lawrence do whatever she wants. I think it's great. She's having fun.
I think this is the most Jennifer Lawrence, right? Like her actual person and who she is like in day-to-day life. I think this is probably the closest to that. That's why I think it's going to be freaking fantastic.
Sure. I'll buy that. I just like seeing her have fun. Then June 30th hits. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Indiana Jones returns for a fifth movie. That's all you need to know. Also, Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken, Sweet, awkward 16-year-old Ruby Gilman, played by Lana Condor, is desperate to fit in Oceanside High, but she just mostly feels invisible. She's math tutoring her skater boy crush, who only seems to admire her for her fractals, and she's prevented from hanging out with the cool kids at the beach because her overprotective supermom is Toni Collette, has forbade Ruby from ever getting in the water. But when she breaks her mom's number one rule, Ruby will discover that she is a direct descendant of the warrior Kraken Queens and is destined to inherit the throne from her commanding grandmother, the warrior queen of the seven seas. This is animated if you haven't figured it out. The Kraken are sworn to protect the oceans of the world against the vain, power-hungry mermaids who have been battling with the Kraken for eons. There's one major and immediate problem with that. The school's beautiful, popular new girl, Chelsea, who's voiced by Annie Murphy, happens to be a mermaid. Ruby will ultimately need to embrace who she is and go big to protect those she loves. And lastly, Harold and the Purple Crayon. Harold, a bald young boy with the love of a drawing, fears that the birth of a new baby brother will ruin his life. With his magic purple crayon, he retreats into a fantasy world in which a monster abducts his baby brother. When real-life complications occur during the pregnancy, it's up to Harold to right his wrongs. John, I feel like that's the kind of movie that would speak to you, but I don't know if that's the first one you would want to see this weekend. What do you think?
You almost had me with this whole Ruby Gilman thing. I was almost like, God, that sounds interesting. And Lana Condor and Toni Collette's her mom? How do they explain that story? And what's going on here? And then you're like, it's animated. So I went to go look at the animation style, and that looks like they're trolls on a crack. So Indiana Jones.
I mean, Indiana Jones is a no-brainer, but in looking at Harold and the Purple Crayon, I was like, this is kind of like a little bit of like a Labyrinth remake in a way, where the older sister didn't like the kid, and then so then she wishes the kid away. So I kind of like that concept and how they're going to do it a little bit differently with this fantasy world and an artistic standpoint that may or may not be directly linked to the survival of the child. So I think that's actually an interesting original story, and I'm always for original.
There's a reason for that, Troy.
Well, I'm going to obviously say Indiana Jones. I don't care about the other ones. I really don't. They sound interesting. I agree with John that the art style looks like the cracked out troll dolls. So can't do it. Can't do it. And
you just said Teenage Kraken sounds interesting? I was bored while you were reading that.
No, I thought the story sounds interesting. It really does. It's wild.
The story sounds interesting, but the animation style sounds terrible.
They both sound terrible.
Troy, you do realize that Harold and the Purple Crayon's been around since like before you were born, right?
Yeah, it's a book.
Yeah.
It's based on a book. Okay. Really?
Just want to make sure.
I think you just realized that just now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at me. I mean, yeah, I realized it just now, just a second ago, just a second. So Indiana Jones, that is a character that is my favorite character that's not Spider-Man. It's my favorite movie-based character. And even though Kingdom of the Crystal Skull wasn't what I wanted, man, James Mangold is a wonderful writer and director. He's proven it time and time again with all of his properties. Harrison Ford, I know everybody's like, well, he's at 120, boom, Indiana Jones and the broken hip, boom. You know, I haven't heard these jokes enough. I don't give a shit. James Mangold made R-rated Logan work. He made racing interesting. He's just a wonderful writer and director. I have all the faith in the world that he's going to create something that's wonderful. Steven Spielberg saw this and raved about it. Granted, he would. He's a producer. But on the same token, I feel like this is going to make up for Crystal Skull. I feel it in my bones. The first trailer didn't grab me, and I was very honest about that. It wasn't magical. The second one hit me right in the gut and felt like an Indiana Jones trailer. So I can't wait to see it. And it better freaking rock. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, Aaron said today that he can feel it in his bones that it's going to be good. Okay, just wanted to notate that.
And if you could, I put money on it. I'll put $1 that it's going to be awesome.
$1.
$1. Hey, and you know what was awesome? Scream 6. And you can buy Scream 6 on digital now. Ghostface is back and more terrifying than ever, and he's on a rampage in the Big Apple. Melissa Barrera, Jenna Ortega, and Courtney Cox star in the sensational slasher hit Scream 6, directed by Matt Bertinelli Olfin and Tyler Gillette. You can get over an hour of killer bonus content when you buy it on digital. It's available at selected retailers, and it's rated R. And I gotta say, man, I really expected Scream 6 to go down from the last movie. I think it went up, even though Neve Campbell's not in it. And I love Neve Campbell in these movies. But this one really, really just is firing on all cylinders. I look forward to where they take the Scream franchise next. And I hope it's somewhere different. Like, I don't want to go to Woodsboro. I don't want to go to New York. I want to go somewhere else. Let's go somewhere different.
I just want to know how Courtney Cox is still alive in these movies. Haven't they tried to kill her like almost every single one?
I think in every single one. Yeah. And she's got a, I think her best scene is in this movie.
Really?
Yeah. The fight that she gets into with Ghostface is her best fight for sure. It is. Okay. It is intense. And she handles it well. And she does something that these characters have needed to do for a while. So it's great. Great. Definitely check out Scream 6. All right. Moving on to July 7th. Insidious, The Red Door. I thought the series was done. They said, no, Patrick Wilson still has a house payment. So Insidious, The Red Door, the horror franchise's original cast returns for the final chapter of the Lambert family's terrifying saga. Will it be a final chapter? Not if it does well. To put their demons to rest for once and for all, Josh is Patrick Wilson and a college-aged Dalton, Ty Simpkins, must go deeper into the further than ever before, facing their family's dark past and a host of new and horrifying terrors that lurk behind the red door. This is the one horror series I don't like, even though I love Patrick Wilson. Also, Joyride. The story of identity and self-discovery centers on four unlikely friends who embark on a once-in-a-lifetime international adventure. When Audrey's business trip to Asia goes sideways, she enlists the help of Lolo, her irreverent childhood best friend, who also happens to be a hot mess, Kat, her college friend turned Chinese soap star, and Deadeye, Lolo's eccentric cousin. Their no-holds-barred epic experience becomes a journey of bonding, friendship, belonging, and wild debauchery that reveals the universal truth of what it means to know and love who you are. It's an all-Asian cast. If you haven't seen the trailer, go watch the trailer for Joyride. It looks freaking hysterical. What do you want to see, Troy? And the answer should be Joyride.
Oh, yeah. Joyride is full of joy, and it's a story that I love. Just seeing like the bonding moments over friendship and just trying to figure out who you are as a person. It screams everything that I'd want to see. I don't care if it's white, black, Hispanic, Asian, female, male. The story itself stands alone. And then the fact that it is an all Asian cast, I think is going to be fantastic for Hollywood. Obviously Stephanie Hsu is in this. So, you know, already it's got, you know, 5 stars.
Okay. 5 stars. Why? Well, Stephanie Hsu's in it. Okay. All right, enough said.
For me, it's going to be Insidious, The Red Door.
You like those?
I like these movies. I'm surprised I like these movies because I thought they were going to be hot garbage, but I really enjoyed the first one.
Aren't they?
It was one of the few movies that's actually like made me feel like a little bit of cold inside. And the second one was a nice extension of the story. So I'm really interested in seeing Insidious, The Red Door. And Joyride isn't Joyride unless some trucker's behind that damn car going, candy cane.
That's true. But Paul Walker's dead, so they couldn't make another one.
Oh. Damn it, Paul Walker. You fucked up everything.
Could have made a remake and it's just glowing like Furious 7 Paul Walker.
See, that would have been even better. What if the guy in the truck was now the ghost of Paul Walker?
Even then, Vin Diesel would have to show up because family. And I got to be there for everything Paul Walker now. He's my man. All right. Well, I don't want to see Insidious. I want to see Joyride. There you go. July 14th. We get the part one of the Dead Reckoning, which is Mission Impossible's final film, but it's going to Fast X it and make it 2 films. But at least they tell you right up front, you know, Fast X isn't part one. They're just like Fast X and it's supposed to end on a cliffhanger. You're like, got to come back next year, sucker. This one is telling you straight up. It's part one. Ethan Hunt returns. We don't really know what's going on, but we know that it's got an all-star cast. So, John,
I guess I'm going to see Mission Impossible. Yes, I'm going to see Mission Impossible.
What makes you excited about this final? Because it's supposed to be the final films.
You know, Mission Impossible is one of those series that really surprises you because the first movie, it was good. Did it need to have a sequel? No, it didn't. And then I had the sequel that took a completely different tone and was everything that was wrong with the 90s. Everything absolutely that was wrong with the 90s was that second one. And then the third one starts to bring it back around again when they start telling more of a cohesive story. And it just gets better. I I don't know what it is about the story in general, but it's one of those things that I like a good spy drama or spy story. I like a good team up story, and I just like the characters, and all the characters feel like they don't belong in the same box, but they do fit. It's weird.
I like Haley Atwell's going to be in it. Rebecca Ferguson's going to be in it. Vanessa Kirby's going to be in it. Simon Pegg, Ving Rhames, Angela Bassett, Nicholas Holt, Cary Elwes is going to be in it. I mean, what the hell? The Princess Bride dude's going to be in this? Agent Kittner's coming back? I mean, the cast is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. And Chris McQuarrie is back to write and direct both of these. And the dude's, I mean, he's Tom Cruise's best friend at this point.
Well, yeah.
Thanks for that insight.
I think that's the key, is that there are movies where Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise, and then there's movies where Tom Cruise is just not good, The Mummy. So when you talk about things like Top Gun, and you talk about things like Mission Impossible and Ethan Hunt, I mean, this is where Tom Cruise shines. And I think because of that, it's great to see that he's going to do two more as Ethan Hunt. And because of the all-star cast, it's just going to be balls to the wall to the end. And I don't know how you would miss it.
Yeah, Ethan Hunt's one of my favorite characters in this genre because you can see the pain he's going through. You can see the fact that you can see those moments where he's like, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I'm going to die doing this. And he has those pauses in every movie where he just stops and goes, this is a bad idea. And I like those small moments because you know it's a bad idea. And there's a reason why it's called the Mission Impossible Force.
There's one thing I got to say, though, okay? Tom Cruise, love you. Love you to death. The stunt thing is getting stupid, like, at this point, right? So, I mean, I got it in whichever one it was it Ghost Protocol? I don't remember which one it was that was where he's hanging off the building and dump. And the next one was one where he's hanging from the plane, right? Which one? I can't remember which one. They all
blur together.
But this most recent one, he's played this up a ton. How he does this motorcycle stunt where he motorcycles off a ramp and then he parachutes, right? That's the whole stunt. And he does it and it's part of a scene. There's no point in that scene or that stunt where you even need to see his face. So there's zero reason for him to do this other than Tom Cruise totally wants to freaking tell people that he just did this cool motorcycle stunt. So now it's becoming more about ego than it is like practicality. And that's where you start losing me. Like Jackie Chan, you know, all the stunts he's doing are because you're looking at his face. You don't need to see Tom Cruise riding this motorcycle and parachuting. Like the whole shot that I've seen multiple times, you're not getting a close up of old Tommy's face. So what's the point? Let's just accept that we don't need to be doing this at 60 years old, man.
But it's a whole method acting thing. So he has to realize that he is in danger and could actually die in order to bring that to those small moments.
That's the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, that's not great. He is who he is, and he feels like he's doing the best he can to put on a good show. So let him do what he wants to do. If he ends up falling apart into a pile of broken Legos, then he happens.
I just don't get. Okay, all right, July 21st. This is the day that probably has the strongest. I don't know which one I really want to see the most of the choices. Right. So number one, Barbie. A Barbie doll living in Barbie land is expelled from the world for not being perfect enough. Bullshit. Margot Robbie is perfect enough. But anyway, too eccentric and not fitting the usual mold. She goes on an adventure in the real world, and by the time she returns to Barbie land to save it, she has gained the realization that perfection comes on the inside, not the outside, and that the key to happiness is belief in oneself. And also that Margot Robbie is indeed perfect. Oppenheimer, depends on where you're from. Story
I heard it
of,
both ways.
What's that?
I heard it both ways.
Story of J. Robert Oppenheimer and the creation of the atomic bomb. Probably one of the most important men in history, I would argue. We agree?
Mm-hmm.
For good and bad. And then on Netflix, they clone Tyrone. A series of eerie events thrust an unlikely trio, John Boyega, Jamie Foxx, and another fella, onto the trail of a nefarious government conspiracy and this pulpy mystery caper. Okay, of those three, I don't remember who's next, but of those three, what are you most excited about?
This is a no-brainer. Oppenheimer, all the way. Christopher Nolan movie, like, done. I mean, the minute the screen came up and it said Christopher Nolan, and it had like the countdown to the date, and it just the tick, 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 and you're just like, yes, this is the story that we've all been waiting for since like a Manhattan Project and other things, especially for people of our age that would be the ones going to the movies and the prime demographic, because we grew up literally fearing nuclear war. So to get the story about how the bomb was actually made, I think is a perfect timing for a summer popcorn movie to watch.
I love that Cillian Murphy is the star here.
Yes. Just looks so, so good in the role.
And he's always the most unappreciated actors out there. I just feel like this is a guy with movie star looks, leading man status, and I don't know why he's usually a supporting character. Such a great actor.
Yeah, he really is a good actor. I think for me, it's going to end up being They Clone Tyrone. I am excited for this. The trailer looks great. It looks like it's a lot of fun, and I don't have to leave the house.
John, it's okay to leave the house now and again.
And it's nothing against the Barbie movie. It's that the ladies are so excited about it. So this is going to totally be ladies weekend, where the ladies are all going to go see Barbie and come back and let us know how it is.
My top pick is going to be Barbie.
That's just because you have a thing for Margot.
No, it's not why. I think it looks like the best movie. Oppenheimer or Oppenheimer, I don't give a shit. He is one of the most important people in history. He legitimately is. But I saw this story, Fat Man, a Little Boy, with Paul Newman. I've seen the story. I don't know that Christopher Nolan's going to make this story any better, but I have to see it because it's Chris Nolan. They Clone Tyrone, I can see at home. I'm in no rush to see it. Barbie, I think, looks fantastic. Greta Gerwig is a wonderful writer and director. I really love her take on things. You've got Ryan Gosling, who's a dude I love. You've got a great cast all around in this movie. And Dua Lipa's in here somewhere. My God. You know, it's just the visual style pops. It's probably one of the most original looking films of the summer. And people keep bitching that they want more original properties. Then go see something original. Take a chance. Do something different. I don't think it's just going to be something that just ladies like. I think it's going to be something that everybody can enjoy, because it's going to do like a more well-rounded story than you're expecting. That's what I'm guessing. I've heard from multiple people the screenplay is fantastic. And Margot Robbie is perfect. That's just that. But again, I would put Jennifer Lopez in there too. Anyway. And also Jennifer Lawrence. And also Salma Hayek. I got a problem. Let's go to July 28th. Netflix is actually July 27th, but it's Happiness for Beginners. Ellie Kemper is Helen, and she's always lived her life as far from the edge as possible. She plays it safe. Find herself newly divorced and a little lost. Helen decides to reset herself and signs up for the adventure of a lifetime. The adventure is a backcountry survival course hiking the Appalachian Trail with a group of oddball strangers. This is straight up my wheelhouse. From the beginning, Helen's plan to be the best hiker is tested, and she finds more than just herself in the wilderness. It's based on the wildly popular novel by Catherine Center. Happiness for Beginners reminds us that sometimes you have to get lost before you're found. Reminds me a lot of City Slickers in a lot of ways. Also, Haunted Mansion. A family moves into the namesake mansion. Lake of Stanfield plays a widower who once believed in the supernatural, but is now a rather lifeless tour guide in New Orleans' French Quarter. Tiffany Haddish plays a psychic hired to commune with the dead. And Talk to Me. When a group of friends discover how to conjure spirits using an embalmed hand, they become hooked on the new thrill until one of them goes too far and unleashes terrifying supernatural forces. You can find a review of Talk to Me on our website. Just, you know, thehollywoodoutsider.com. Okay, Johnny, what do you want to see? What's getting you excited, since it's obviously not Barbie?
Yeah, this one's really a tough weekend for me. I almost want to read a book. Jesus. But if I had to choose, it might be Haunted Mansion, just because I do love the ride.
Okay. There's that.
That's all I got.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm stuck on is it a ride or is it an attraction?
Oh my God.
Anyway.
Is that worth an argument? Is that worth a debate? Is that worth stopping?
It's Troy. Yeah, it's Troy.
I was trying to decide what I wanted to see yet. I was killing time for myself. No, I love Ellie Kemper. I'm going to watch Happiness for Beginners.
Me too. I love anything with hiking and backpacking, so that sounds exciting. And it does remind me of City Slickers a lot, just by its setup.
Well, hold the phone. That's like one of my favorite movies. Like, slow your roll.
Whoa. All right, and Talk to Me is really good, by the way. If you're looking for a cool horror movie, look for that one. It's going to be fun. You're going to like it. August 4th, Meg 2, The Trench, a sequel to The Meg. Yes, yes, Jason Statham is back, and he's going to fight another big-ass shark, a bigger shark, I'm sure. And also, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, mutant mayhem. After years of being sheltered from the human world, we're going to give the goddamn turtles another try at another movie. The brothers set out to win the hearts of New Yorkers and be accepted as normal teenagers through heroic acts. Their new friend April O'Neil helps them take on a mysterious crime syndicate, but they soon get in over their heads when an army of mutants is unleashed upon them. I believe this is a CGI adventure. So, Troy, do you care about this, and why should you see the Meg 2?
No, I'm seeing the Turtles, because the art style is freaking phenomenal. The way they're doing it, I think, is just something that makes the Turtles pop in a completely different way and kind of also brings it back to more of that classic Saturday morning cartoon kind of feel to it, rather than doing live action Turtles, which was okay and fun, but not super awesome. This actually feels like Turtles all over again. And it's got me, the minute it popped up on screen, I was like super excited for it. Splinter looks badass. Bebop and Rocksteady look badass.
The thing I like about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the cast. The cast is a pretty extensive list of voices that I enjoy. I do like the art style behind it. I think the art style is in that same vein of trying to capture a specific feeling that Across the Spider-Verse is trying to capture. Oh, I'm going to go see giant sharks, though.
There's no way I don't see it. There's no way I don't see that.
Yeah, I'm going to go see giant sharks.
I thought the first time Meg
Ruby
was
Rose better die.
Yeah, the first Meg was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Ben Wheatley's directing it. He did Free Fire. So I'm looking forward to just insanity. And I really hope, you know, in the first one, Jason Statham literally kicked a shark in the nose at one point. That's just what he does. I need to see that again. I need to see him punch a shark this time, square in the eye. And Ruby Rose is not in it, but if she could do a cameo where the shark eats her, that would be cool with me.
That would, but actual Ruby Rose, not like the character that she's playing, you know. Or maybe she didn't come to this one because wearing clothes is too itchy for her or something. Stop. So who knows?
All right. August 11th, Gran Turismo, based on a true story. Okay. This film is the ultimate wish fulfillment tale of a teenage Gran Turismo player whose gaming skills won a series of Nissan competitions to become an actual professional race car driver. Okay. Awesome. Didn't know that was a true story, but there it is. The Last Voyage of the Dementor. It's based on a single chilling chapter from Bram Stoker's novel Dracula. The Last Voyage of the Dementor tells the terrifying story of the merchant ship Dementor, which was chartered to carry special private cargo, 50 unmarked wooden crates, from Carpathia to London. Strange events befall the doomed crew as they attempt to survive the ocean voyage, stalked each night by a merciless presence aboard the ship. When the Dementor finally arrives off the shores of England, it is a charred, derelict wreck. There is no trace of the crew, because Dracula is a hungry bitch. And lastly, Netflix's Heart of Stone. Rachel Stone is Gal Gadot, and she's an intelligence operative, the only woman who stands between her powerful global peacekeeping organization and the loss of its most valuable and dangerous asset. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, Gran Turismo is a weird way to take a game adaptation, but it's not really a game adaptation. It's more the story behind the game, I guess. So, is it Troy? What you got?
Gal Gadot, all the time.
I'm gonna go with The Last Voyage of the Dementor because I just think that that's going to be a great story to watch. I think that the visuals that I see from the trailer is pretty fun and engaging. So I just need to see some good chilling horror. So I'm hoping that that's going to be it.
Or you could go watch Talk to Me, which I mentioned earlier was a very good horror movie. God damn it. But this looks good too.
What are you all upset about?
You didn't seem like you were excited about Talk to Me. And I told you it looked really good. I saw it myself. It's good.
Okay.
Another Dracula.
Did you go into detail about that?
I talked about it.
Did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening.
All right. I wasn't listening.
That's obvious. Yeah. As long as this Dementor movie is better than Renfield, because that sucked. Sorry. Nicolas Cage gave us his all, but that movie is poorly edited, and the story is horrible. So just be better than that, and we'll be good. I guess that's my pick.
Scratching that off my list for this weekend, then.
That's not good, man. I was really disappointed. August 18th, Blue Beetle. Recent college grad Jamie Reyes returns home full of aspirations for his future, only to find out that home is not quite as he left it. As he searches to find his purpose in life, fate intervenes when Jamie unexpectedly finds himself in possession of an ancient relic of alien biotechnology, the Scarab. When Scarab suddenly chooses Jamie to be its symbiotic host, he is bestowed with an incredible suit of armor capable of extraordinary and unpredictable powers, forever changing his destiny as he becomes the superhero Blue Beetle. Also, The Hill, inspiring true story of Ricky Hill, small-town son of a traveling pastor played by Dennis Quaid. He's doing a lot of religious-themed movies these days. A sandlot baseball phenom, Ricky defiantly overcomes his physical disabilities and father's persistent worry for his health to fulfill his dream of playing professional baseball and ultimately transforming his connection with his father. God damn it, it's a father-son movie with Dennis Quaid. Son of a bitch! I'm going to love it. Also, Please Don't Destroy, the story of three childhood friends who live and work together. The trio decides they don't like where their lives are headed and set out to find golden treasure rumored to be buried in the nearby mountain. Okay. So, Troy, where you at?
The Hill. Well, definitely The Hill.
Really? Like
anytime Dennis Quaid's doing a father-son connection, father-daughter connection, anything that's overcoming disability, American dream, all that stuff, like it's baseball, like, yeah. Yeah. It hits all the buttons.
It sounds like I'm going to cry.
Yeah, screw that. I'm going to go for Blue Beetle. I can't wait to see Jaime on the big screen. I can't wait to see Jaime do his thing. I can't wait for him to argue with the Scarab because that's going to be fun. And I am so stoked because not only do you see Jaime, but they also reference the ship in which one of the original Blue Beetles created. You also see the costumes for the two different original Blue Beetles before Jaime, because there's a whole story about how they found the Scarab and designed some of their stuff to replicate what the Scarab can do, but the Scarab scared them too much to be able to actually use it, and Jaime gets the Scarab completely by accident and becomes this just a fun hero altogether. So I love Blue Beetle.
Is it Jaime, not Jamie?
It's Jaime Reyes.
Why couldn't you tell me that when I was doing it? Why do you wait?
Because you're white.
Shit. All right. I guess you're a Mexican or you're a Mexican. You're a Mexican because you're a Mexican. Tell me that I said it wrong the whole time.
I think you're a Mexican because you've been saying it wrong this whole time.
Son of a bitch. What an asshole.
Can I tell you how much I love the fact that you noticed that difference? Jesus.
Well, you only said it about 14 times as if you're trying to implore me to pay attention that I said it completely wrong.
Well, yeah, I can't let you not pay attention to something like I do.
The big question for John is, are you excited for that Jaime is being played by Cobra Kai's Miguel Diaz and Romario Ramirez?
What's Cobra Kai?
I knew that was coming.
What is this Cobra Kai? And is it like a sandwich? Is it a drink?
Screw you, John.
I had a guy at work who told me his dog was named Kai after Cobra Kai, and I asked him if he ever swept the dog's leg, and he didn't get it. And as far as I was concerned, his dog should be renamed at that point. Just a weird side story. Continue. Please tell me about Jamie.
Well, I think I said everything.
Why should people see that? Here's my question, okay? Because Blue Beetle is a comic book character I don't know many people that even know. But he's very popular for Hispanics, right? He's a Hispanic superhero. Mm-hmm. Why do you love that particular character, I guess?
I like the dichotomy between the character of Jaime Reyes and the Scarab. That it's very fun. It's like Jaime is trying to teach the Scarab the difference between good and evil, and they develop as they're developing this whole, it's kind of, all right, so as I'm saying it out loud, this is kind of like the relationship between Venom and Eddie Brock, where the two of them are constantly at odds. Only difference is that Eddie Brock isn't inherently good, whereas Jaime Reyes is inherently good.
Okay, understood. And by the way, I want to thank you for ensuring that I have hell to pay when I see my wife, who is Hispanic and will yell at me for not realizing that J's are always H's, and I should know better. So thanks for that, you dick. All right. August 25th, Whitebird. In Whitebird, we follow Julian, who has struggled to, now I'm going to think it's Julian, who has struggled to belong ever since he was expelled from his former school for his treatment of Augie Pullman. to transform his life, Julian's grandmother, who's played by Helen Mirren, finally reveals to Julian her own story of courage. During her youth in Nazi-occupied France, a boy shelters her from mortal danger. They find first love in a stunning magical world of their own creation while the boy's mother, Gillian Anderson, risks everything to keep her safe. Also, Lift! An international heist crew is recruited to prevent a terrorist attack and must pull off the heist in a plane mid-flight, and stars Kevin Hart and Vincent D'Onofrio.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Which part? The international heist crew is recruited to prevent...
No, I got that.
Kevin Hart and Vincent D'Onofrio.
Okay, whose idea was that?
Kevin Hart literally pairs up with anyone, so I'm sure it was his idea.
What's he like, beer, or is he like wine? Is he good scotch, or what is he?
You're trying too hard.
All right, I'll give you that. You're right. I was trying to be Troy for a second.
Why? Did you interrupt Troy?
Shit.
And he recovers. I'm going to read a book this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a book this weekend.
I think so too. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to catch up on all that TV shows that I haven't been able to catch up on yet.
White Bird looks okay, actually. It looks sweet. I don't know. It's the end of summer. I don't know.
It feels like a different version of like Diary of Anne Frank or even Jojo Rabbit. It just feels like Nazi stuff has been overdone.
I am a little tired of Nazis, except in the Indiana Jones world. They're somehow going to be part of the new one, and it's like 1969 or something. What? I'll still check it out. All right. September 1st. Only has one movie that matters. The Equalizer
3. Yeah.
Since giving up his life as a government assassin, Robert McCall, Denzel Washington, has struggled to reconcile the horrific things he's done in the past and finds a strange solace in serving justice on behalf of the oppressed. Finding himself surprisingly at home in southern Italy, he discovers his new friends are under the control of a local crime boss. As events turn deadly, McCall knows what he has to do, kick some ass, and become his friend's protector by taking on the mafia. And Man on Fire's Dakota Fanning is also along for the ride. And the trailer is out if you haven't seen it. I was really worried we weren't going to get this, right? Because the series came out long after Equalizer 2. And I thought, well, we're never going to get Equalizer 3 now. But we finally have it. And it is going to be the end of the trilogy. It is a trilogy, according to Denzel. A guy who never does sequels, he did 3 of these, which means he really digs playing this character. I cannot wait. And what a way to close out summer.
What he said.
I this is one of my favorite movie series in recent times. I can't wait for this. I'm excited. If I can jump right to this first, I would.
Oh, wow. Over Guardians?
Grab a time machine? Yeah, I would see this over Guardians for sure.
I would see this over Guardians, hands down.
So you wouldn't, is what you're saying.
It's Guardians.
Dude, Denzel Washington is better than all of the Guardians put together.
A double feature it at the drive-in. How's that?
Now, bringing it back to the beginning, if you could have a spinoff for just one of the Guardians, who would you most want to see?
Rocket Raccoon, for sure. Ditto. Trash Pandas going across the galaxy.
Yep. I would totally watch a Rocket Raccoon movie. I would not watch a Peter Quill movie.
I would totally watch a Mantis movie.
Mantis could be fun.
Yeah. I mean, Rocket would be fun too, but Mantis would be hysterical, I think, just because like the way they're playing that character out on the screen is she's cute and small and funny, but she is devastating when it comes to what she can do to you. So I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Honestly, Nebula could carry a movie on her own for sure.
Nebula needs somebody. She needs somebody to play off of.
Yeah, I agree with that one. And that one, I wouldn't be as excited as I would watch it because I think Karen Gillan does a good job, but I'd have to be sold on that. Rocket, I would love to just see wander the galaxy and get into mischief. And you could take Groot with because he's not going to leave Groot behind, but Groot doesn't really do anything.
Oh, I'm going to get that arm.
It's a whole trilogy of him just trying to get that one freaking arm.
Right. That would be great. Him just hunting down Bucky at every single turn.
Just hunting down body parts randomly. Well, you got Bucky's arm in the holiday special, right?
Oh, that's true. He did totally get it in the holiday special.
He did get it. Okay, so what are you most looking forward to of all of these movies, Troy?
I mean, Indy, obviously. Elemental looks like a return to form for Pixar, but I'm most excited for Oppenheimer.
Really? That's interesting. Is it the subject matter or the Christopher Nolan of it all?
Both.
Well, I mean, which way, like you get 50 down the middle, where do you lean? Which way do you lean? The story of it all or Christopher Nolan?
No, I'm on the line.
Perfectly on the line.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's like, I really like the story and the whole, anything atomic bomb. It's literally why I actually started watching 24, if you can believe it, because I saw the episode in season 2 where they blew up the nuclear bomb over the desert. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they just blew up a nuclear bomb on TV. This show's awesome. And I went back and watched season 1 because I'd missed season 1.
His wife dies.
From a nuclear bomb perspective, like, that just fascinates me. And then the fact that it's Christopher Nolan on top of it. Yeah. So it's literally right on the 50.
Okay.
Note to self, make sure Troy never gets the nuclear football.
Keep him away from the goats.
You're the one that pushes buttons. I don't push buttons. Or the
record. I would never mess with a nuclear football.
Yes, you would.
That's what you said about audition, too.
The hell you would not. You'd say, what's this dupe? Oh, shit. There goes New York.
Well, you know, New York is becoming a problem already. So
at least I took care of the relocate rats. It. Rats aren't a problem, guys. I solved it. What about you, John? What are you most looking forward to?
You know, I've gone up and down this list a couple of different times looking for the thing that I'm most excited about. And it's really tough because, number one, I hate that question because I never know what I'm most excited about in whatever different moment it is going to be. That being said, it's a close tie between Mission Impossible and The Equalizer.
Okay. Mine's Indy. I think that pretty much goes without saying, so I'm still going to say it. What about any independent films or streaming originals we should keep an eye out for that we haven't already talked about? Anything? You guys got anything?
So I went around and I looked around at a couple different things that I could find. And I found, there's a new Nick Cage coming out. So Nick Cage and Joel Kinnaman. If you're a fan of Collateral and or Thief, these two movies, this is sort of the same sort of vibe. You have Nick Cage, who's the passenger in a car. Joel Kinnaman's the driver. And Nick Cage is essentially holding Joel Kinnaman at gunpoint, having him drive him around and all that other stuff. There is a bit of a twist to this that relates to the name. But I thought this would look interesting. And considering, you know, the new wave of Nick Cageness that seems to be coming off of his release of Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. I really think that this could be a lot of fun. And that comes out July 28th. And then there's They Listen. This comes out August 25th. This is Catherine Waterstone and John Chow. This is a Blumhouse Productions movie. There is nothing about this movie that is getting out. They haven't told anyone what's going to be what it's about. They haven't showed it anywhere. But it's directed by Chris Weitz, and it's going to be he's done things from The Golden Compass to Twilight Saga, New Moon. He's one of the co-writers for Rogue One. So this could quite possibly, especially because it's Blumhouse, and I can't think of a single thing from Blumhouse that has been terrible. This could be a lot of fun. I'll go again, August 25th, They Listen. John Chow. Come on.
Nothing? I mean, that one could be cool because if they keep it under wraps and don't share anything, it could be like a new Blair Witch.
Well, I think a better example of where they pulled this off was 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah. Also really good.
Right.
Okay. That's a lot. It's a lot of movies. What's one specific thing about the movies that we talked about that stood out for you?
One thing. Movie theater summer is back. There isn't a weekend that doesn't have something good to go to the theater to see.
Does that make you happy? Were you worried?
Oh, yeah.
Because we were all worried.
My A-list will actually get some work out of it for a change.
We were all worried and petrified that we weren't going to have movie theaters. That's kind of what was sold to us as soon as COVID hit, and it didn't happen.
The big screen is there.
What about you?
Well, to me, it feels like this summer has a lot more room in it than past summers have had, in the sense of there's a lot more variety that's happening. It's not a lot of the same things or the same. Sure, it has your Marvels and it has your DCs and it has whatever else, but it seems like there's a lot more to it than just that. And past summers, especially recently, have always felt have felt very Marvel heavy, and this just doesn't seem to have that.
I agree. I think that's the one thing that I would take away. There's a lot of original content. I don't even like Wes Anderson, but you got Asteroid City. That's original. No Hard Feelings, original R-rated comedy. You've got the Blackening, which just sounds like a crazy fun horror movie, and Elemental, and Flaming Hot, and Strays. Even if it might suck, at least there's like we're getting a lot of stuff that is new, property wise, IP wise, idea wise. That's what people keep saying they want. So it's important to me that it's important to everybody else listening. All those titles, man, go see them. If they sound interesting, go see them. Go see them in a theater. You know, build those IPs up, because the more original content we see, the more original content we get, and less just superhero movies and less just sequel after sequel after sequel. We'll get stuff that we want that is fun. We'll get more The Machine kind of movies, you know, shit like that.
And the movie's already $15, so just buy A-List and go see it all.
Man, I don't know why more people don't do A-List. A-List is a great deal.
$23. Yeah. You get to see three movies every week.
Every week. And during summer, just try it for the summer. You'll get your money's worth if you like movies. You really will. Yeah. For sure. We don't get a kickback on this. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to save
Unless you money. Don't have A-List in the area where you're currently listening to this podcast, and we're sorry for that.
Every theater chain, major theater chain has one. Regal has one. There's other options out there. So find whatever chain is around your area. They have some kind of subscription plan so you can see more movies at a cheaper price. So do
Take
that.
Take your one you streaming service, put it on hold, and use that to pay for your A-List subscription.
Yeah, there you go. What's the overall verdict then? This summer's releases. Great, good enough, ugly enough to make you play sports outside. What?
Solid 7.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 7.5. I think it's going to be good enough for a summer. And I just hope that the stuff that isn't the usual fare that we get hits hard enough to make a splash, to catch people's attention, and to help maybe put a spin on what we're getting, to adjust for the great wish that I put on the movie industry years ago that I ended up getting, like the one wish I ever made, and I ended up getting it, and now I feel bad about it.
Okay, I think this is pretty good. Not great, but it's really good. So what's your prediction for the biggest hit and the biggest flop? And you can determine flop however you want, financial flop or just didn't make its money back, whatever.
I'm going to go with my biggest flop is going to end up being The Flash.
Mm.
And the biggest hit will, of course, be Guardians. I'm just cheating by going that way, but that's what I'm going to go with.
I think Transformers flops. Guardians will
take
win.
Take that back.
I'm just glad you get to see it before we get on the boat. That's all.
Do I? I do. Wait. You do. Yes, I do. Okay.
And you think Guardians is the biggest hit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think the biggest hit's going to be The Little Mermaid, because family movie, live action, those are huge. One of the most popular animated films of all time. I think it's going to be the biggest one. And the biggest flop, I think it's going to be Transformers. I'm sorry, man. I know you're excited about it, but I don't know anybody else that really is. And they've had a couple trailers, and I just haven't seen a whole lot of woohoo. It's just been more like, hey, another one.
My one concession to that is that Bumblebee was not big enough to remind everyone that this is not related to the Michael Bay movies. So that's where I think everyone's getting kind of burnt out. I actually sit down and rewatch one of the Michael Bay ones, and I'm like, this really hurts me. So, I get it. The Michael Bay Transformer movies are not the best, but I'm hopeful that based off of Bumblebee, that this is going to be something completely different.
I think the problem with Transformers in the marketing is that unless you're like in the Transformers, like into the Transformers, you have no idea what the hell a Maximal, a Predacon, and a Terracon is.
I don't know what it is.
So they need to do something in the trailers to be like, this is where the Maximals, Predacons, and Terracons come from and why they're part of this battle on Earth. Give people an idea of the story they're walking into so that they don't have to like figure it out during the movie. Because if you got to figure it out during the movie, you're spending more time figuring it out rather than enjoying it.
Do you want to know what the cartoon version of the story is?
Not today.
No? Okay. I just wanted... I was going to give it to
I
you,
have to
but...
pee.
All right, fine.
I am excited for the 1985 tie-in to the old cartoon, though.
Are you?
Yeah. That's the only reason I'm going to go see it is because of the tie-in. Because I think that they should spend more time back in the 1985 cartoon and bringing those stories forward. Because that's going to get people interested to go see it.
I'm not going to see it, but man, I didn't see the last one in the theater and I was fine with that. Or did I? See, I can't even remember. I honestly
You saw it in the theater.
Yeah, I remember how many there were. Were there five?
I saw Bumblebee in the theater. I just couldn't remember if I saw the last one.
Right, Bumblebee was the last one.
All right. Well, I don't remember.
Bumblebee was standalone. It's not one of them. That's the problem. We keep saying Bumblebee was the last one, then people think it's a Michael Bay movie.
I'm going to say it again. Bumblebee was a reboot.
Okay. Here's a listener. We put a poll in our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. Here's our listener top five most anticipated from everybody that took that poll. Number five, The Flash. Number four, Spider-Man. Across the Spider-Verse, whatever the hell that thing is. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, part one. Indy 5 is number two, and Guardians of the Galaxy is number one. I am going to go on the record with a hot take and say Guardians is going to do great, has no shot at being the most popular movie of the summer.
You already said that. You said Little Mermaid was going to be.
Right, but I also don't think it's going to be in top three. I think Indy is going to beat it. There's a chance Flash beats it, and I know that's no one believes that, but I think there's a shot Flash beats it.
Just from the people hate watching it.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
If it's as good as some people are claiming, and I think Marvel is kind of on the downward spiral, Flash might be exactly what DC needs right now.
That's true.
There's a chance.
And then they're stuck with Ezra Miller.
That's not true.
Yeah. They can just recast that pretty quick and be like, ooh, Flashpoint. New Flash. Would you want them to do that?
I'm really mad at a lot of the cameos they cut out.
Well, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah. Movie isn't out yet, John. Why would you post something like that?
Keep it to yourself, man. Nobody wants to know. Shh.
But that's not even what I'm mad at. I'm more mad at something they showed in a picture that they haven't showed in any of the trailers. So
cool. I don't want to know. Shh. Keep it to yourself. I haven't seen it. I don't want to see it.
I was happy that I couldn't remember it for a day and a half.
We're getting out of here. Summer movie preview is done. Thank you, everybody. TheHollywoodOutsider.com is our website. Enjoy. Share the show with your friends. Tell everyone. Tell your mom. Tell her what podcasts are, whatever it takes. Enjoy your summer. Enjoy the movies. Love to see you. And remember, the next time you head to a theater, because they're still alive and thriving, buy popcorn. Yeah, I didn't mention streaming from your couch, John, because I want people to get out of their house, go outside, and then go into another room somewhere else and watch a movie there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.